From high atop Feibusch Media World News headquarters in Rochester, New York, it is the Top of the Tower podcast. I'm your host, Scott Feibusch. We are brought to you this week again by Shively Labs. Shively Labs is a division of Howell Laboratories. Shively is a proud employee-owned company with over 50 years of expert antenna and filter design and manufacturing. And by the Tower site calendar, we are now shipping our 2019 edition. It is a pretty spectacular one, if I do say so myself. You want to have this on your wall for 2019. And we also now have available the Broadcast Historians calendar that John Schneider produces every year. This year featuring historic radio remotes. It's all at our store at Feibusch.com. On with this week's edition. It has been a busy week, sort of away from the radio business. As many of you know, I also work part-time in radio news at WXXI here in Rochester. It was a long election night, as it was all around the country, so that kind of took away from some of our radio news coverage this week. But that doesn't mean that things aren't happening. For instance, in the city of brotherly love.
Tiffany, I think we're alone now.
WBEB, WBEB HD Philadelphia, a radio.com station.
More music, more variety.
Philly's B101.1.
Wait a minute, did that say B101.1? It did, because in Philadelphia, Entercom has made an imaging change since their recent acquisition of WBEB 101.1 from Jerry Lee Broadcasting. It was more 101. Under Jerry. And of course, one of the things that made Jerry Lee so interesting when he ran 101.1 in Philadelphia was that he changed the identity of his radio station a bunch of times over the years as research dictated. So it started out as Beautiful Music, WDVR, Delaware Valley Radio, evolved in the 1980s, early 90s into WEAZ, Easy 101. And then evolved again as you realize that that image was sort of aging out into WBEB, and it was B101. And then a few years ago, he looked and research apparently showed him, no, we need to change the image yet again. And it became 101.1 More FM. That lasted for a few years, right through Jerry's ownership of the station. And, you know, frankly, a bunch of us, at least inside the business, still tended to call it B101. And I guess some of the listeners did as well, because whatever research Entercom was looking at said, you know what, it makes sense to go back to calling this B101.1 now on the air. And so it is back to being B101.1. They are playing a little bit more 80s into the mix there. They're also mixing some more 70s in. Down the dial on WOGL 98.1, which, of course, had been sort of part of a broad spectrum of contemporary music competition that included B101, that included 96.5 WTDY, which, of course, has swung back and forth in the last few years from just about full-on CHR to being more of a hot AC. It appears right now to be a little bit more of a hot AC, perhaps. Also still subject to change. So changes going on in Philadelphia, and probably not the last one either. There are some interesting hints coming from out on the West Coast, where iHeart just announced they're putting soft AC as the breeze on their 92.5 in Philadelphia. Will that be the last breeze? Could there be some places where that might show up and replace some existing formats? We will be watching that, as always, very closely as we start heading into this sort of last run up to the Christmas season, and then the format changes that tend to follow the Christmas season. So interesting stuff going on all around the area. Let's rewind a little bit here and go back to the radio show not that long ago in Orlando, Florida. We still have a few more interviews to bring you from the floor of the radio show. We had a conversation, for instance, with Jeff Williams. Jeff, of course, comes from a legendary radio family. His father, Jack Williams, ran Pacific Recorders, PR&E. And Jeff is the head of the U.S. division of Yellowtech, all of those really nice-looking mic arms that you see out there, and increasingly computer monitor arms also, and copy stands, as well as some wonderful little in-studio mixing consoles and recording microphones, some good stuff that Yellowtech is making. We had a chance to talk to Jeff about some of his travels and some of what he's seeing in the industry.
You have been on the road, and then on the road some more, and then on the road some more.
I'm always trying to show the best German-made products to the American public, but also getting to go over to Germany and seeing how it's built, too. So, yeah, I've been on the road for this last month.
I have been seeing more and more of your arms all over the place. I was in Boston a few weeks ago at WBUR, and the studio they built there, not only with your mic arms, But all the articulating monitor arms and the copy stands, this has gotten pretty huge, hasn't it?
You know, we pride ourselves in making studios functional. The neat thing is not any of it is just one size fit all. So like WBUR at the Here Now studio that I think you're referring to, really they did a beautiful job with that facility by thinking that one through and making it very comfortable for the employees.
There's obviously a lot more focus on sight lines now with everybody doing video in studios, so that matters more, right?
Oh, exactly. In fact, the lower profile mic arms that, you know, come from down below and up to you kind of gets rid of that spider effect if you have only standard mic arms in a room. That has been picking up steam like crazy this last year.
You're telling me the IXM, the recording mic, has been big for you this year, too.
Yeah, we've been now pushing it out to the podcaster world. In fact, we got to talk this podcast into getting one.
Yes.
And the IXM recording microphone has been really a slow growth, but this year it's exploded. We're going to have our biggest amount of sales of that product because we're actually in the niche at the right price at the right time right now with it.
There's really nobody else at this point. I know there were a couple other manufacturers that were doing these. Who else is in this field at this point?
Well, Sony, technically speaking, is, but you don't see them marketing it too much.
I didn't even know it existed.
Tascam has its own set of issues, you know, just economy-wise with their parent company. And then Marantz has rolled back to doing just maybe two models and really not really promoting them. They're now promoting their new video products. So we're going to stay in the audio world, and we're going to just focus on having a very neat functional recorder that is unique in the marketplace but stands out on its own.
How was the show for you?
The show's been really good. A lot of positive conversations, people looking ahead. I mean, I know we're hearing some rumblings of, you know, possibly a market correction, you know, of the stock market at least, and maybe a slowdown in the economy potentially next year based on, you know, the rumblings of trade wars and everything else. I don't foresee the broadcasters to be negatively hurt because we're an important source to this country. And that's the reason why it's great to be in the radio business still.
And there are still, you know, I'm seeing all kinds of studio projects still going on that all need mic arms and monitor arms and everything that you do.
Well, let's face it. I mean, 20 years ago, I was playing carts and CDs. And nowadays, you can't get away from a radio studio without less than six monitors. And so we make the systems that hold them up the best way and in the cleanest way and the most way that you can even expand into. So it's a good thing.
I'm guessing when you were over in Germany, you saw some new stuff that's coming this way?
Oh, they test marketed something at IBC quietly. We've also have been doing a poll on a new product that I can't discuss, but it's something, ironically, the Germans flew over here and heard rumblings from the American market, and then they tied it together to the rumblings that what was wanted in Europe. And guess what? They're the same thing. So thanks to everyone who's answered our questions, we think we're going to have a new product out in the next year and a half that will be totally different.
You'll be hearing about it on the podcast, I hope.
Oh, you will. You'll be first ones.
And Yellow Tech, we should mention, is also proudly in the 2019 Tower Site calendar.
I am proud to be part of it because a born and raised radio person, and we all know that the final frontier is right when it hits the towers, and it's a beautiful sight sometimes.
How's your dad doing?
Dad's doing well. Jack Williams is doing quite well. He's healthy as a horse. I think he's healthier than I am. And he's enjoying his retirement years, but he loves hearing my stories from the road and who I talk to in the industry.
Next time I get out to California, we'll have to get him on the podcast and get some good PR&E stories.
You know, it's funny. People don't realize this. Social media and stuff like that, he's very shy, but he is a big podcast listener. But he's not on Facebook. He's not on LinkedIn. But my mother, who's following the various broadcast pages, reads him all the stories of what people are saying about the old PR&E days.
And we also had a chance to catch up with another longtime friend who we've seen around the convention floor for years. Don Backus has worked for a variety of companies, including Enco, for many years. And at the moment, he's working for Rohde & Schwarz out of Germany. Which is a really interesting company. They're very big, of course, in the TV repack market right now. When we were up at One World Trade Center in New York around the NAB New York show, just about every transmitter, with one big exception, amongst all of the digital TV stations in New York, those are all Rohde & Schwarz transmitters up there. Very, very quiet, liquid-cooled transmitters in a stunningly quiet and stunningly cool transmitter room. And they're branching out into radio as well. There are more and more of these liquid-cooled FM transmitters out there. Had a chance to talk to him about some of what makes liquid-cooled transmission such an efficient way to go.
And the television side, the 7000 series, the 8000 series, and our current 9000 series in television have done a really good job of convincing people that liquid cooling makes sense. Radio, I think as electric rates have gone up, it's become more apparent that there are savings, but there's still kind of a hesitancy. The TV engineers that dabble in radio or the radio guys that have TV backgrounds, they're not nearly as apprehensive about liquid cooling as some of the radio guys that haven't been exposed to it. And the other side of it is I think a lot of radio people, when they envision liquid cooling, envision WLW's ponds, you know, with the fountains, or there was a big lagoon and a fountain at WAP in Jacksonville. That was really cool, but that's not the way it is anymore. I mean, it's all liquid. The liquid cooling we do, it's not water. It's some water, but it's a lot of glycol and, antifrugen. Mm-hmm. And it's also a closed loop. So there's no lagoon anywhere. There's no ability for the water to evaporate or leak or anything like that. It's a closed loop. So we'll kind of ask you as a maintenance thing to check the fluid level once a year or, every other year. Other than that, maintenance is pretty light on them. So
I just walked back over here. It's 97 degrees, blazing hot sun outside. This is probably the climate where it makes more sense. Is there a reason to do this if you're in a more northerly climate too?
Oh, absolutely. First off, the savings and efficiency are significant. And when we calculate what the average savings is going to be, we're only assuming a duty cycle for your HVAC of, maybe 30%. Down here, it's a lot higher than that. But you're still going to save a minimum of 13% on your efficiency because the HVAC system is running a lot harder, it's a lot louder, and you've got the fans inside the transmitter. We have dual pumps inside the transmitter. We have dual heat exchangers outside, but you're not having to run your AC system. Or if you're running it, you're running it very, very low because you don't have nearly the amount of heat to get out of there. A 40-kilowatt THR9, our transmitter, emits about 700 watts of waste heat into the room. The rest either goes up on the tower or goes out into the heat exchanger. And 700 watts is about as much energy as you and I are giving off right here. So just, two human beings, that's 700 watts.
That's not bad. These are out here now. I know there's an install in Pensacola. Yeah. Where else will we find these around the country now?
Well, on the radio side, we're kind of spread out. We've got several in Texas. We've got a couple in Charleston, South Carolina. In fact, we have the general manager from South Carolina group stop by yesterday and ask us about maintenance, saying, I don't know that we're doing what we have to do because we don't do anything. And I said, no, you're doing it. He says, but my engineer says he just goes out there and looks at it once in a while and it's all cool. What else are we doing? I said, you're not missing anything. It's okay. It's designed to be low maintenance.
And in terms of cost, you're comparable with any of the big brands, right?
We are, definitely. I mean, it's definitely a high-power product. It's, 10 kilowatts and above. We can do a 5-kilowatt, but it's not really cost-effective because you don't get the amount of savings. It still might be 13%, but 13% of $200 is not as significant as 13% of, $1,500, $2,000, $3,000. For electric costs, so you can kind of figure that out. And of course, it matters what your kilowatt rate is. What are you paying for electricity? In Tennessee, it might be around 9 or 10 cents a kilowatt hour. Hawaii might be, I think it's 28. There's some places in Maine where it's as high as 50 cents a kilowatt hour.
Ask my friends up in rural Alaska what they're paying up
yes,
there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And in California, it's around 18 to 19 cents. And even at 8 cents, you save money. You just don't save as much as fast. But in the North, we're very cost-effective. And we've got a lot of experience on the television side as well that backs it up because it's the same cooling infrastructure. It's the same design.
And there are a lot of your TV transmitters out there these days. You just did an event, I know, in New York up at One World Trade Center.
Yeah, we did. That was quite a facility. I hadn't had a chance to be up there yet. There are 7 television transmitters up there. 6 of them are Rodin Schwartz, and They are whisper quiet, which is a side effect that nobody really wants to pay for, but you get it for free. They are so quiet that you can stand in front of them and carry on a conversation and actually whisper and have the other person hear you.
I was up there a year ago when they held the first meeting up there during AES in NAB New York last year. And, yeah, you walk into that room and you can have a meeting in there.
Oh, it's astonishing. We had, 45 New York city engineers. It was fantastic. And one of the things I learned from John Lyons was that they actually allowed for a lot more space for transmitters up there than they're using right now, because the transmitters have gotten so much smaller since the first design of One World Trade. So
it is amazing. It's a big floor with not a lot on it.
Yeah. Well, and on the radio side, we do 40 kilowatts in a single rack. So it's 7 square feet, 40 kilowatts, one rack. And you can double it up and do 80 in two racks.
It's amazing. You get a chance to see anything else on the floor here?
No, not really. I talk to a lot of great people. And, from my standpoint, having been in the industry as long as I have, I'm less interested in product than I am people. And I've seen a lot of great, great friends. We always get together and, catch up around the booths and stuff like that. Even some of our illustrious competitors.
Exactly.
They're still friends.
Don Backus, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
And if you want to hear more about what we've been seeing at all the various shows around the region, there is more coming. If you are fortunate enough to be in the upstate New York area, you can catch me speaking to one of several SBE chapters around upstate New York. I will be here in Rochester at SBE Chapter 57 on Tuesday for lunch, and then in Buffalo for lunch with the SBE Chapter in Buffalo on Wednesday. I'll be with SBE Chapter 22 in Central New York and Syracuse on Wednesday evening, and then SBE Chapter 58 in Albany. I will be joining them for lunch on Thursday. If you are interested in catching any of those meetings are open to anybody in the business. Drop me a line. I'll let you know where to go and how to meet up with us. Try to bring you some excerpts of some of those talks as well coming up on upcoming editions of the Top of the Tower podcast. So much more to come. We've got some interesting interviews coming in the next couple of weeks as well, including a Western New York name who's trying to become a big name in station ownership around the region. So much more to come there, too. The Top of the Tower podcast is brought to you by Shively Labs. Shively Labs is a division of Howell Laboratories. Shively is a proud employee-owned company with over 50 years of expert antenna and filter design and manufacturing. And, of course, by the Tower site calendar, which you can find at fivewish.com, and just click on the store. We'll see you right back here next week with the Top of the Tower podcast.